Hi, and welcome to episode number 44 of Light the Eye, presented by the U of I Credit Union. I'm Scott Beatty.
And I'm Robert Rosenthal.
Our last episode, we had Brad Underwood here. So for this episode, we have no guest.
We have us.
We have us. We have us. We'll see if we get the same view count with just us.
I'm sure it will. We're just as interesting.
Got a lot of catch up on in the spring sports. Golf just got done with the Big Ten Championships. They're on to the NCAAs. Tennis has advanced. Baseball's final home weekend. Some shuffling in the administration of U of I athletics. And our producer, Maisie Garrett, it's her senior day. We will celebrate her right after we
light the eye.
Some business to clean up from last episode, thanks to an alert commenter on YouTube.
Mm-hmm.
A bull
yes,
is an uncastrated male.
Yes.
That's what a bull is. A steer is a castrated male.
Yes.
A cow is a female that has had a calf. And a heifer is a female that has not had a calf.
Okay. This is all news to me.
Yeah.
I have heard all of those terms in my life. And it took me till age 53 till I learned what they all meant.
Yeah. A sow is a breeding female hog.
A hog. So yeah. Sow is just hog, not even. So when you threw out sow during the episode, the people with ag degrees were throwing things at the device.
Yeah. There is my suburban upbringing was showing.
Yes. I should.
Yeah.
There was an FFA chapter at my high school. I should know these things. I've been on a dairy farm before. I should know some of these terms, but that's interesting that cow was then chosen, right?
What people were saying was
people see that animal.
I think
anywhere,
cow
they
is
say
a
cow.
Yeah, I mean that's what I mean. What is a 3-year-old say? What is that? They don't say. Well, it depends if it's castrated, Grandpa.
Exactly, but why? Why was it heifer then the term that was chosen? With everybody said, hey, there's a heifer. Hey, why is cow the one we have coalesced around? Which is what? A female that has already given
birth?
Like,
yes.
Okay.
I mean, I feel like you're getting a little personal if you start calling someone a heifer.
It's a good point. It's a good point. They have different... you go different directions.
It's none of your business if I've had a calf or not.
I had a... let's see. I had a toy when I was a kid. That was Milky, the milking cow, and you would mix this like white pill and water to make milk, pour it in the thing, and then it had little udders that you would milk. That's right. Milky, the milking cow. If I'm editing this episode, I'm going to find an image of Milky, and I will put that on the screen right now. Good old Milky.
That's utterly ridiculous.
Oh, they continue with the puns.
Mm-hmm. You're back from Eugene, Oregon, from the Big Ten Golf
Portland
Championship. Oh, my
it
bad.
It wasn't even was it was 2 hours north of Eugene.
That's right. Is it hosted technically?
Yes, it's one of those.
It's technically hosted by Oregon, but it was
Last year was Baltimore Country Club. It was hosted by Maryland.
Yeah, but it's never at a school site because. You're supposed to not have played that course.
Correct.
Nobody is supposed to have played that course.
Correct. Rutgers has it next year. It's at Baltusrol course, which is a pretty famous golf course, hosted U.S. Opens and everything else before. So, they take it to these famous. So this was the course, Pumpkin Ridge, just outside of Portland, where Tiger Woods won his last U.S. Amateur. There have been U.S. Women's Opens here. It's a fairly well-known course, and that's what they're going for now.
So it looked like Illinois was going to Illinois it, where they storm back.
Yes.
And then they didn't.
Yeah.
They did. They did storm back.
Mm-hmm. Basically, UCLA had one counterpunch left in them. Their top two players were a freshman and a sophomore, and those two guys on the final four holes went -4. They both birdied two of the last three holes, and that was the difference.
Okay. So the string of... Big Ten titles.
Yes.
Ended last year when UCLA won it, right?
2 years ago.
2 years ago.
Northwestern won it 2 years ago.
Oh, yeah.
So this is 3 seconds in a row.
Okay.
Yes.
Which, well, I'll let you talk about this, but second place is usually really good.
Yes.
Might not be in Mike Small's mind.
Yes.
But that put aside. I mean, once this conference became a coast-to-coast with warm weather schools.
Yes.
Are we saying goodbye to Big Ten golf championships?
We're saying goodbye to 13 out of 14. You know, I ran the numbers in my article I wrote about what the last 2 years would have been. If there weren't West Coast teams in this one, Illinois wins by 14 shots, just like Illinois always did. Illinois would have won last year. I think it was plus 2 to plus 13 would have been the next original Big Ten team that would have been. So Illinois would have won by 9 shots last year. But instead it was UCLA 1, Oregon 3, Washington 5. You know, it was that kind of result. Here, this was UCLA 1, USC finished 4th, I think, or something like that. So, yeah, it's a different world. Look, Florida has always had a great golf program. They won a national title a few years ago. Florida has won 2 SEC titles the last 15 years because it's just really hard with a whole bunch of great schools to win that title. There have been great basketball schools that don't win the Big Ten tournament every year. So when you have this, the result of Illinois winning 13 of 14 was Illinois is a school that invests heavily in golf and has the best golf coach in the country, and the rest of the Big Ten schools kind of maybe think about it from time to time. Now you have 4 schools that really invest in golf, and it's going to be a lot more difficult moving forward.
The 4 schools being Illinois, Oregon, and USC and UCLA?
No, I'm saying you've added 4 schools that really care. Because Washington has a bit of a golf. Washington once stole an Illinois player, like, before the transfer portal. So they've had a history of, you know, part of what you're saying when you're saying invest in golf is even before the transfer portal, there was this thing that a guy would be really good at, I don't know, Purdue 1 year, and then, well, it's time to leave. Like, obviously, you're not going to play all 4 years at Purdue. Now you've proven you're good enough to go play at Florida State or to go play at Wake Forest or whatever. That's kind of how it always happened. And, you know, even the other schools in the Big Ten would get pretty good. A few years ago, this happened. Iowa has a kid who goes to the finals of the U.S. Amateur. He immediately transfers to Florida. Like, it's just how it has happened in golf. Illinois has been the school that's been able to retain the good players and been able to recruit even more and everything else. And that's how, you know, 13 of 14 Big Ten titles. So,
yes, I would say not winning a Big Ten title. This is the sport where a conference is really arbitrary.
Yes.
There's no non-conference season for golf. And then we got to go through the Big Ten slate and look how we've owned it. It's one event a year. There's other events they go to where there's some Big Ten teams, but you're basically playing nationally anyway as a golf. So it's not nothing when you win a Big Ten title.
Yes.
And, I mean, believe me, they celebrate it, and there's trophies and everything for it, and pride carried with it. But the fact that you don't win the Big Ten championship doesn't necessarily reflect, like you said, like Florida. Like, you could still be really good. You could still win at the Nationals.
Yes.
And plus, we've talked about stroke play and versus match play and all that. At
the end, but the Illinois team that lost to Northwestern 2 years ago and finished second in 2024 then went on to win the stroke play portion of the national championships by, 14 shots, 16 shots? Like, dominated everybody else. And then lost to Georgia Tech in the quarterfinals of match play. But, yes, when you're it's golf, right? You can the result, I was there all 3 days. I watched 12, 13, 14, maybe 15 hours of golf, walking hole to hole, my step monitor. Maybe I'll put that image on the screen of, like, here's Robert steps this day. Here's the 3 days covering a golf tournament, and now back to only walking.
Walking's really good exercise.
That's right. So, anyway, the result of this is one kid, a freshman from UCLA, Josh Kim, was red hot. Just figured something out in the zone. If you're a golfer, you remember the round where this happened to you, and it was like, I cannot miss a green right now. And it's just, for whatever reason, everything's clicking. So UCLA, if you take the rest of their team, they were even par on the whole tournament. Josh Kim was 8-under for the tournament. That won him the individual award. UCLA was 8-under, his 8-under, and that won them the tournament. So sometimes that's all it takes in a tournament like this. Everybody's playing closer to, you know, the worst teams are a little more over par, but everybody's close to par on a course like this, and one kid shoots 8-under and puts his team on his back and leads them to the Big Ten title.
Time to bring in our producer, Maisie Garrett, to say hello. How you doing?
Hi, I'm doing good. How are you?
The finish line is in sight for you.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yesterday was my final day of classes ever because I don't have class today, and tomorrow's reading day, which means get ready for finals, and I don't have any finals, so I'm free.
Well, you're done.
Basically, yeah, just a couple tiny little things, and then I'm done.
That was perfect. You had all five dones. Congrats on being done.
Yes, thank you.
Well, we're going to acknowledge it because this is your penultimate episode. But we're going to acknowledge you, kind of like how they do in like the Diamond Sports, where they do senior day on the second to last game because in case of weather.
Sure. Yes. Right.
So we've got another episode that one more episode you're going to be a part of, but we will properly acknowledge you this episode just in case of rain.
Perfect.
Since
thank
you're
you.
Done.
And we will tell the people. You can tell the people what's next. It's kind of big. You don't have to tell them now. No, we'll say that's a tease.
A tease for later then.
Yeah, yeah. But you're going to reveal what's next for you.
Yes.
And how Light the Eye was a launching pad into the career.
Exactly.
Very obvious.
All right. Illinois men's tennis hosted regional play at the Atkins Tennis Center, and they are into the Sweet 16. They beat Yale, they beat Vanderbilt, and the reward for beating a pair of high academic private schools,
the worst bracket ever,
is a trip to Columbus, Ohio to face the number 3-seeded Ohio State Buckeyes, where, checks notes, the Illini have already lost, against whom they've already lost twice this year and seem to always run up to the stinking Buckeyes.
Yeah. I mean, for people who don't follow tennis, it's hard to come up with a, you know, I guess maybe it's similar to having to play Iowa in the Elite Eight, but Iowa's...
It's not similar.
But it's the same, like the bracket comes out and you're like, are you kidding me?
It's more like
paired with Ohio
snakes.
State.
Why did it have to be snakes?
Yes. Yes, it really is. And it's a function of golf and tennis are like this. They just take the rankings, whatever the computer spits out, and those are the seeds. There's no committee. There's no seeding. No. It's just pretty much straight down the line. And so it said Ohio State is number 3, and it said Illinois is number 14, and 3 is going to play 14 in the Sweet 16. You know, the overall, you know, they're technically a 1 seed. Illinois technically a 4 seed, but... it just says those two teams will then meet in the Sweet 16. So, look, Illinois came very close to lost 4-3 in the semifinals of the Big Ten tournament on a single match that went to 3 sets. So there was one set at like 5th singles that decided the entire thing last time. So it's very, very, very close to beating them, and it's very possible. And why not Illinois?
The first time they played in the regular season, Illinois lost 5-2. Then the semis, as you just mentioned, came down to Zach Viala for Illinois, won the first set, and then dropped the last two sets to Bryce Nakashima of Ohio State. I mean, Illinois won number 1, number 2 singles. They also won number 6, but they lost 3, 4, and 5. For those of you who don't know, you play... There's 7 points up for grabs.
Yep.
The first point comes from 3 courts of doubles play, and you play 1 set. So as soon as one team has won 2 of the 3 courts, they have won the point. the doubles point. So that's so they play that. There's 1 point. Now the next 6 points are determined by 6 individual matches that are played for 3 sets. And that's why it can all come down to who's got the better player on the 5th court.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Gabrielle Debreu and Kenta Miyoshi are having great seasons, fantastic seasons. And Brad Dancer, who I'd love to get on the program here when it's all said and done, has just done another whale of a job. But Ohio State seems to be a tennis machine. You talked about investing in golf. Ohio State invests in tennis.
Yes, absolutely.
Every school, it's like Iowa or Penn State in wrestling. Like, this is our thing. We're going to be really good at it.
Mm-hmm. Yep. They've won, regular season until this year, I think. Or maybe they tied for the regular season title. I think they tied with Michigan State, but they were the 2 seed. All I know is they were the 2 seed for the first time in, 19 years or something like that this year. And Michigan State beat them in the conference finals. They beat them 4-3. So they are beatable. It's just, you're right. It's funny. At the Whitman Roundtable last June, when we're talking NIL, I asked a question based around Ohio State tennis of, okay, let's take an example of that school that wants to remain investing. Can they take revenue share and say, look, we're going to take this part of the revenue share and we're going to keep the tennis program really strong, or we're going to keep the wrestling program really strong? And there's a longer answer. That's another topic for another day. But it is that example of a program that has just recruited the top, and yet, very similar to Illinois golf, they've yet to win a national title. All these years as a 1 seed, and they just haven't been able to break through.
The short answer to your question, though, is yes, they can.
Yep.
Take revenue share money. Remember, yes, this is the $20.5 million. That'll go up for next year for each school that they get to distribute pretty much as they see fit. Obviously, it's I don't know how mandated it is, but it's got to go to sports that are on TV,
yes,
like football and basketball. But
yep,
at Illinois, they choose to use the bulk of the money to the 4 ticketed sports.
Yes.
Football, men's and women's basketball, and volleyball.
Yes.
That's where most of their $20.5 million is distributed. There's some small sliver of it that is distributed to other individuals or sports in ways that they don't make known for competitive reasons.
Yep.
So it might be, and I don't know this to be the case, I'm just saying, for example, they may say, number one tennis player, here's a little pocket of money that you're going to get because we want you to stay here, or number one golf player, or ace pitcher, whatever it is for other sports. But we don't know what that is.
Yeah, I found an article actually it was a link to a podcast. I wrote a preview of tennis and golf back in February or January or sometime. And on the podcast, it was basically a lower levels of tennis podcast of who are the next stars, what, you know, there's that challenger tour that'll sometimes come, even events in Champaign and this and that, of guys trying to make it and get seated higher and climb in the rankings and
professionals.
Yes. And it was an entire episode dedicated to Gabrielle Debreu coming to Illinois, excuse me, and another kid going to Ohio State, of saying, look, Debreu won the junior French Open when he was 16. That's a kid who never, ever will go to college tennis. It's just straight to the professional tours and playing those lower events and building up his seeding until he can get, you know, play-ins to the Grand Slams and all that kind of thing. You build it up that way. And the whole episode was about, all right, something's changing in college tennis because Ohio State and Illinois just brought in 2 players that have never come from Europe and played in the States. And now they are. So something is afoot kind of thing is, you know, doesn't have an eye toward tennis at all kind of thing. It's not like a college blog. They were just saying, what are these guys going to college tennis for now? What's happening? What is the shift? And I think we're talking about the shift that there's NIL and there's rev share and there's ways for schools to make it worth their while to come play in college now.
Plus they heard that podcasts at Illinois are covering them.
Yes, pretty much exactly why. They were like, can I light the eye? If so, I'm going to leave France.
Let a tennis player light the eye.
Yeah.
The only people that have lit the eye are myself and you and Brad Underwood.
Yes. And
they're only ones in the club.
And Brett Bielema, but that was at the at a tailgate.
Oh yeah, yes. I meant on the show.
Yes, on the show. It's just you mean.
I'm not speaking of others.
Bradley
that have,
Cole Underwood.
Yes. Okay.
Yes.
Big news this week out of the University of Illinois. The Illini are parting ways with longtime softball coach Tyra Perry, who just completed her 11th season. She was just the second head coach in program history. The program started in 2001 under Terry Sullivan. Tyra Perry had taken Illinois softball to 4 postseason runs in the NCAA, but had had 3 subpar seasons in a row, missing the Big Ten tournament all last 3 seasons, including the one that just wrapped up this past weekend. On a personal note, I have a ton of respect for Tyra Perry and a ton of gratitude for her. So this was tough news. Not surprising news,
yeah,
just based on the trajectory of things, but it was still tough news. She came in 2016, was her first season, and I'll never forget that because it was her first season and was the first year that I started doing regular radio on the network, mm-hmm. starting with softball play-by-play, and I did some other things, and gradually my role there increased. I had done a little bit of spot stuff here and there, but this was the first regular, and I got to go with them to the regionals in 2016 and 2017 and again in 2019. But she welcomed me in, and I just appreciated how she welcomed me in and how the program worked with me as well and just let me be a part of things. So I'm grateful for that. If you take a moment to read the press release, I don't know how many coaches, when they essentially are getting fired, want to quote in the press release, but she was quoted in the press release, mm-hmm. expressing her gratitude and wishing success to the program. So I thought that was very classy and gracious of her.
Yeah. She, it was immediate back then when she took over. I remember those. In fact, maybe one of the top Illini athletes I've ever covered was Nicole Evans.
Oh, sensational player.
And it was a great and player, human being. But human being. I used to, when there was that special spectators tailgate every year where they would bring in kids from local hospitals and such and get them seats and get them out on the 50-yard line before the game and all this kind of stuff. She would always volunteer for that. And, if you've ever seen college kids volunteer for, some kids are like on the edge, like, I'm not sure what I'm supposed to do here, but we're going to be here. And then there's always somebody like Nicole Evans who was just right in there with the kids and getting them food and playing games with them and this and that. And she was probably the best example of Illini athletes in the first 10 years of when I was doing the blog. So yeah, those years.
Did she 16, win a Big 17? Ten Medal of Honor?
I think so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She's Illinois' home run leader.
Mm-hmm. And did she get a Hall of Fame? Didn't she get a Hall of Fame a few years ago?
Yeah.
Yeah. Those teams were great.
We didn't.
The start of Tyra was dynamite.
We didn't always, we didn't do all the games on radio.
Mm-hmm.
So we did a handful. I happened to be on the call when she broke the home run.
Oh, record. Really?
It was great. Really cool.
That's great.
You can't just be like, well, I'm going to do every game. And I just happened to be doing a random Saturday game and she broke the home run record.
Yeah, that's great.
Nicole. Anyway, Tyra Perry, read the details. The university's, doing right by her, in honoring the contract, and she's going to be fine. And she has 25 years of head coaching experience. But it's still tough. She was, sure. She wasn't just here. And correct me if I'm wrong. Tyra Perry was hired by Mike Thomas.
Yes. Just before.
Yeah.
Just before Whitman. Yeah.
I don't think there are any head coaches at the U of I now that have not been either hired by Josh Whitman or long legacy coaches that preceded Mike Thomas. Small.
Yeah.
Like a Mike Small, like a Dan Hartlib.
Mm-hmm.
Renee Sloan, I think. Brad Dancer.
Mm-hmm.
So. But it's just an interesting time for Josh Whitman as the athletic director. There's been a lot of turnover here for one reason or another.
Mm-hmm.
Tyra Perry is the latest, but Evan Clark, a week ago, women's tennis announced his retirement. Mike Poeta was let go because of an investigation. So Jeremy Hunter took over there. But all of a sudden, there's just kind of this right. churn. He recently made a switch at swimming and diving a couple years ago. I think it's more than a couple years ago now.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, Janet Rayfield retired from coaching and had a new soccer coach in. So there was sort of this stability of coaching, and now there's some churn there in the, I would say, the not as high-profile sports compared to the big three, but mm-hmm.
You're
right. Just a thing to note. And we can get into this. A couple of administrators have left. We noted earlier in the year that Roger Denny, the deputy, left to go to Oklahoma to be athletic director there. He's also just taken Mark Torresani, who was football chief of staff, with him to Oklahoma. That's not so much of a thing that fans really touches the fans. It's just that's an internal operation thing there that's really a critical role, chief of staff for football.
Mm-hmm. Surprised me.
Yeah.
Like, shocked me. Like, Torresani worked for Bielma
forever
at Wisconsin, at Arkansas, then he went somewhere else until Bielma got the job here, and then he came here with him. So it's been his right-hand man, literally the office right next to Bielma's, the guy who handles everything in that building. I mean, look, don't get me wrong, good for him. This is a step up.
Yep.
This is in a higher up in the admin side and everything else, and I'm sure in his 3 or 4 years, you know, being the AD who was closest to football, Roger Denny saw the skills of Mark Torresani and wanted him to help advance his career and bring him to Oklahoma and this and that. But it's a loss for Illinois. It's a big deal. There's a lot of change there as well. Yeah, Roger Denny, Torresani, Tom Moreland.
Tom Moreland is exiting to be the athletic director at Toledo.
Yeah.
Congrats to him. We talked about that on a previous episode. But with Roger Denny's departure, coming back to the administrative fold for Illinois is Tom Michael, who was on the staff at U of I for a long time and then was the athletic director for EIU for the last, it's been more than a decade, I think.
Mm-hmm.
I think done a bang-up job there. He's coming back to be the deputy, the number two athletic director. And let's give Maisie a history lesson. What is Tom Michael known for in basketball?
I mean, my answer is probably going to be a little different.
This is important for Maisie to know.
Uh-huh. I mean, he was an Illini player recruited in 1990, I want to say. He was the second leading scorer on the 91-92 team. Played for years. And then you fill in more because I'll go back to high school here.
Well, I just say I think he's still a record holder for three-point percentage, right?
Is that the case? I don't know that.
He was a really good shooter. That was my point.
Yes. I have a poster somewhere in a box that had a picture of Dion and a picture of Tommy Michael, and it was like Mr. Inside and Mr. Outside. Like, it was that. For me, so here, this is going to be a little Metro East but I grew up in Highland, Illinois, so I'm a half hour from downtown St. Louis. Tom Michael's from Carlisle. Led him to a state title in 90, 89, something like that. Let's just say it this way. In the Metro East, in the far reaches of the Metro East where I lived, there were two legends. There were two, have you seen this guy play? There were two, we're going to a high school game in Carlisle tonight because everybody keeps talking about this kid kind of thing. And it was Tom Michael at Carlisle and Paul Lusk at Westland in Trenton. Paul Lusk is now one of Painter's assistants at Purdue. He was a Purdue assistant, then he got the Missouri State job, didn't go well there, and he went back to being an assistant under Painter at Purdue. But those two names, Tom Michael and Paul Lusk, were like Southern Illinois basketball for years. They were absolute legends. And Tom Michael, when he committed to Illinois, was a huge deal down there to have this kid who couldn't miss, who was going to come play for Illinois.
Yeah. All around good guy, so it'll be nice to have him back in the fold for the offices at Bielefeld.
Yes, and he's always been, like, I saw him at the Final Four. Like, you know, he's still an Illini alum and fan, and I saw him with a couple other, you know, former Illini basketball players. Like, yes, he's the Eastern Athletic Director, but he is Illini through and through. So, great to have him back.
When we come back, we're going to send off Maisie. I don't know if we'll send her off well, but we'll try. This episode of Light the Eye is brought to you in part by Logic Coworking and Logic Events. Logic Coworking, a great space for you to be productive, whether you need somewhere to retreat for a day and work on a project or a more permanent remote location to work. But they also have Logic Events where you can elevate your luncheon experience. Logic Events is teaming up with Blue Dragonfly Catering to offer an excellent luncheon experience for your group. Logic's friendly staff will be on site to welcome your guests and help direct them, and they set up an atmosphere that's ideal for your business networking or presentation. There's all the AV equipment and microphones that you need, plus a full event space that has chairs and tables and everything to make it look nice. Then Blue Dragonfly offers farm-to-table inspired menus featuring fresh seasonal ingredients, and they're able to accommodate most any dietary need. Two trusted local partners, Logic Events and Blue Dragonfly Catering, one seamless luncheon experience. Robert, you know our podcast goes all the way back to December of 2025, and I always find personally this time of the year in the podcast to be the hardest.
Oh my gosh.
It's because when we have to say goodbye to our senior producers.
Yes. Is this a what? Who is this? The Illinois Wind Symphony playing the?
No, but I think it's the BBC Night at the Proms.
Okay. Yes.
But anyway. Our very own Maisie Garrett is, we're going to put her out of the nest and say, fly, bird, fly.
She kind of flew into the nest 6 months ago. Said, hey, what's up?
You've grown up before our eyes.
Yes.
Yeah, so much.
You helped us understand what a long jump is.
Yes.
Theoretically.
Yes. Yes.
Anyway, Maisie, we wanted to say thank you. And wish you well in your next endeavor. So we need to do, this is senior day, right? So, okay.
Ooh, what?
senior from Plainfield, Maisie Garrett, has been active in sports broadcasting with such endeavors as UI7 News, Big Ten Plus, and has been the producer for several episodes of Light the Eye.
And
accompanying Maisie today is nobody.
Yes.
Yep. But that's okay. Her parents still love her.
In her 4 years as a student, she got to see, a 8-win football team in 2022 go to the ReliaQuest Bowl. Then she got to see a 10-win football team, a 9-win football team in 24 and 25. She got an Elite Eight, and she got a Final Four. That is one heck of a run as a student. Mm-hmm. Do you have any words for us, Maisie, on your final second to last episode?
Yeah, I mean, I worked really hard to get to all of those bowl games and to get to the Elite Eight and Final Four. So thank you for acknowledging that.
Yes. And was it a lot of work to get?
It was so much work, but it all paid off in the end.
Yes. Yes. It did.
All right, we have something for you.
Yes, you're being handed your parting gift. We're going to have her open it live on the air?
I think so, because there's something of significance in there.
Okay, okay.
There is? I'm nervous.
Uh-huh.
It's delicate.
Card, thank you.
Delicate. Uh-huh. It's delicate. Uh-huh. Be careful you don't drop it.
Mm-hmm.
Hey. Wait. Okay, Starbucks gift cards. Mm-hmm. Thank you. I'm going to need that. And thanks for all of your help. Here's some confetti from the floor in Houston.
Yes.
That's awesome.
There you go. A piece of orange and a piece of blue confetti.
Aww. Real Final Four confetti or Elite Eight confetti.
Elite Eight confetti.
That's awesome. Thank you.
Iowa confetti. Thank you for all of your work over these last. Amazing.
Now this is where you tell the people what's next for you.
Yes.
Yeah.
This is big.
All right. It is. And Robert, I will preface by saying don't hate me, please. I beg. But
when I heard about this, I thought, like, oh, what did I say on that episode about Iowa? Oh, crap.
You know what? And that's okay.
Yep.
It's okay. But I will be heading to Cedar Rapids, Iowa. I'll be at KGAN Television, Iowa News Now, where I'll be a sports multimedia journalist. So I will mostly be covering the Iowa Hawkeyes. And so I'm excited to keep a close eye on the Illini still. And then I'll also be covering high school sports in the area.
Yay! Yes. Congratulations. When does the gig start?
I will start on June 15th, so I'll have a little bit of time to, you know, relax before I got to move. But I have lots of family out in Iowa, so I'm excited to be out there with them for a little while.
Well, since you're going to be doing, you know, journalism.
Yes.
You won't be there to be a fan.
Yes.
Right. So you don't have to shed your orange and blue, do you?
No, not at all. It's objective reporting. Mm-hmm. And my boss is also an Illinois alum, so she gets it. There we go. It's perfect.
There we go.
Beautiful. Beautiful. Yes,
as long as we can plant more subversives out there into around
this
big
country. This is like the Americans.
Look, it's exactly what it is.
It's a series called The Hawkeyes.
Look, and Northwestern has done this with all their stupid journalism. Mizzou has done this throughout ESPN, having a bunch of Mizzou journalism grads shining up Mizzou for them. So, yes, please.
It's an episode called The Hawkeyes.
That's right. That's
and
right.
Then we have secret meetings.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay, we're thrilled for you. And can't thank you and Ella enough for helping us get this going. We've told you this, but we hear all the time that listeners and viewers love connecting with you guys as students. And we love that students are a part of this because this is a campus endeavor after all. So we're excited for your next steps. Hope you won't forget us. When you become a big TV exec, please hire me.
If that happens, I will.
All right. But there is something else important that you want to bring to our attention. So hope folks can listen up here.
Yeah. So thank you so much. First of all, I've absolutely loved being a part of the show. Thank you so much for asking me to. I've had so much fun here. But on the more important side, just wanted to remind everyone, May is Brain Cancer Awareness Month. And earlier this year, this became very near and dear to my heart. My roommate, Chloe, was diagnosed with brain cancer. She had a tumor, still has a little bit. It's something that she is going to be living with for the rest of her life. And this is also impacting central Illinois over in Monticello. There's investigations of cancer clusters and glioblastoma. So important to support your neighbors, support your people. And we are raising money for the American Brain Tumor Association. So we'll add a link in the bio if you want to make a donation or show support in any way to help those in need whose lives are affected. It means a lot. So help your neighbors. Thanks.
We appreciate it. And know your roommate, Chloe, she's a fighter. And we'll be pulling for her.
Yes, thank you. She's killing it. She's killing it.
All right. Well, I'm going to leave you with this. And I think you were, Robert, you're referencing the amazing run that Maisie's got to witness.
Mm-hmm.
You've got the combined success in the last few years of football and what they've done with back-to-back bowl wins. Men's hoops, obviously the string now of NCAA appearances and getting to the Final Four. Women's hoops, back-to-back appearances with wins in the NCAA postseason. And I don't know if we can pull up the image here for those that are viewing, but you look at what has gone on in 2026. There is no state that is touching the number of tornadoes that have occurred compared to what Illinois has. 119.
Does that say two for Nebraska?
I just want to say this is how incredible Josh Whitman is. All this athletics. Name another state that's got its flagship university succeeding in football, men's and women's basketball, and a number of tornadoes.
And has people running to storm shelters.
I'll wait.
Yes, you're right.
So, Maisie, just know these are the days.
These are the days to be an Illini and dodge tornadoes.
Border states, not even close. And then Oklahoma, supposedly a blue blood in tornadoes.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yes. Yes. NIL has really changed some things.
It has. It and really people has. Have stepped up to the plate.
Yes. Transfer portal, everything else. Suddenly, the tornadoes are like, Nebraska, who? We're going to Illinois.
So stay weather aware, everybody.
That's right.
Know your shelter and your safe space.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Maisie Garrett, for your fine work. Thanks to our hosts here at the Center for Innovation in Teaching and Learning. For Robert Rosenthal, I'm Scott Beatty. Next time we join you, We're going to visit with Professor Barry Hauser, director of the Marching Illini. We'll do that next time when we light the eye.